Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
Well, it's time to fucking John, dude.
What's up, you Johns? Well, welcome to the first Danny Palmer Show podcast episode of 2024. Wow, we made it all the way to episode 300 and something. 340, that's what it is. 340. I was just sitting here on my usual Tuesday night being like, I don't want to record a podcast. I don't want to watch TV. And then I was like, come on, Danny. You know what? 30 to 40 people are counting on you here, pal. So let's fucking get it together, buddy. Let's fucking man up, all right? I was just reading, apparently Jimmy Kimmel is clapping at Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers accused him of being on the Jeffrey Epstein list that's being released soon. Or maybe it has been or something. But like, dude, what? Why is a NFL quarterback accusing a TV show host of being on a list that hasn't come out yet? That seems, you know, maybe stay in your lane a smidge there, kid. A little premature, right? Oh, wow. Is that your attempt to talk about current events? Yes, honey, it is. Okay. I'm not the greatest at discussing current events. I thought I'd give it a shot. Well, give up. All right. There's no need to yell at me, okay? My neighbors are going to hear you. They know it's your voice. It's not my voice. You're my girlfriend. I know. Touch my butt. I will touch your butt, honey. No, I'm just joking about the listeners. I do appreciate those of you that have stuck around and that listen week after week. It's interesting. Podcasts are very interesting, you know? It's like with stand-up, it's like, oh, you try to put some like clips online and, you know, or maybe you like make online sketches or something. But there's something that's more like kind of visceral and close and like raw and emotional about the relationship between a podcast host and the listeners, you know? I know that this is like common things that have already been said before, but it is interesting to see it be consistently true over time. It's like, dude, is my voice in your vagina, dude? Oh, that's stupid. That's fine. Yeah, so Lainey, one of my most consistent listeners, said I got so behind in the pod during the holidays, but right now I'm binge listening, and it's making the perfect start to my New Year's Eve celebrations. Thank you, Lainey. I appreciate you listening. Very kind of you. And then also, I told my friend Marissa that I read her hilarious feedback about when the pod used to be Space What the Fuck, dude. Just going in on me and Zach McGovern and the ridiculous shit that we would say. She's like, you know, just at one point completely derailed from space and just started talking about like cum jokes. And I mean, I don't know, dude. Zach was over here on New Year's Eve where I read him this feedback and we were just doubled over laughing. You know, it's nice to have somebody like externally that isn't you, like show you what you've done in a different light, you know? Okay. I don't know if that was valuable content for the pod, but I feel like it's something. It counts. By the way, Dua Lipa posts the most cool shit, man. I love her. She's so inspiring. She posted something right before New Year's. It was like, this is the time of year to explore, regroup, recharge, and restart. I know it's not like, you know, the most groundbreaking thing in the world to say that, but like, there's just something about her saying it. It's like, wow, Dua, you're right. That is what we should be doing right now. She's only like fucking 25 and she's got all this wisdom and shit. I think it's from all the people that she interviews on her podcast on Service 95. Why is it called Service 95? Was she born in 95? I'm not going to research that. Let's continue with the podcast episode, Danny. Dude, I didn't realize that South Korea had such strict drug policies. Remember that movie Return to Paradise? I think Leonardo DiCaprio is in it. And they go to this, it's like these tourists, I think from America, they go to Thailand, they get busted for having drugs. And now they're in this like insane prison. It seems like South Korea is similarly strict. Convicted offenders there can face 6 months to 14 years in prison just for possessing drugs. And citizens can be prosecuted for using illicit drugs, even if they do so abroad. Dude, what in the fuck, bro? That's insane. That is clear government overreach. Why would your fucking country's government care if you're getting high in another country? Like, I don't understand. What does that have to do with your country? It's like that puritanical strain that still remains a consistent part throughout or piece of American culture. I guess it's fucking tripled over there, man. So that's not fun. Just let people do drugs, except for heroin. Although I was talking to a comedian, I won't say their name, this past weekend, and they said they did heroin in high school, but just like they would go up with coke and then down with heroin. And, you know, they're fine. I'm not even going to say the gender. They're fine. They're alive. It's like, oh, all right. Well, maybe I should give it a fucking Give it a chance. Give heroin a chance. Just kidding. But I do have that joke about if I had 6 months left to live, I would definitely want to try it, you know? I heard it's like pouring warm honey like over the top of your head. I want someone to pour warm honey on my head, dude. But then again, that'd be really sticky and would suck to clean up. But I don't know. Maybe that's the move. Maybe you don't do heroin. You just do the warm honey. You know what I'm saying? By the way, is there anything more exciting than when a new year starts, as it just has, opening your new year 2024 word of the day calendar, dude? I'll tell you what the past two words were. January 1st was agog, fun word. And today was overweening, kind of like overbearing in an arrogant manner. Dude, those are fun words, you know? I think I've been getting a word of the day calendar for like over 20 years now. And then I'm like, wait, are they repeating some of these words? Am I getting hosed by the Merriam-Webster fucking mafia, dude? Probably, you know? I mean, do you think they have a fucking database to make sure that that'd be like, what, 365 times 10? Over the course of 10 years, that's 3,600 something words. 20 years, that's six. Wait, I guess there's, how many words are in the English language? You know what? I'm going to look this up. Hold on. Whoa, okay. Apparently there's over 170,000 words in the English language with new ones continually being added. But how many of those would be difficult or challenging enough to be worthy of an inclusion in a word of the day calendar, which in theory should be expanding your vocabulary? It's probably a lot. Maybe they haven't repeated. I think you should be able to take Merriam-Webster to court if they repeat a word. Just for fucking breach of, not even breach of contrast, breach of trust. Merriam-Webster, you fucking dicks. You know what? I guess this is a little dark, but I was talking about this to somebody on New Year's Eve. It's like, let's say that you die and like you're beloved by many people. I feel like after about a year and a half, most people would stop talking about you on a you know, reasonably consistent basis. Like Conan O'Brien said, sooner or later, all of our graves go untended. Oh, that's dark, Conesy. But, you know, just like, and then it just makes you think about, if you think about that a little too darkly, then you're like, well, if I'm only a year and a half away from being completely irrelevant and largely forgotten, does my life have actual value today while I'm alive? Yes, Danny. The answer is yes, it does, because of the amount of people you can touch and impact. Not even the amount. You know, I do think about that, you know. I've been listening to this, a lot of like year-end podcasts where they summarize. Like there's this one, the Knowledge Podcast that Shane Parrish from my favorite Farnham Street blog does. And he's kind of had like a series of like, I don't know, 30 people highlighting their top advice for the year. And one of them was talking about like just setting an intention of, I forget what the adjective was. I think it's like setting an intention of being kind. And like every day you wake up and you're like, okay, I am going to be kind to all those around me in all of my interactions. I feel like if you do that, have that approach, that will have kind of a compounding effect over time. Like even out in public, like, you know, just try to like be extra nice to people when you're checking out at a, you know, convenience store, wherever. Hold the door open for people. Maybe wait a few minutes. Not a few minutes. Maybe wait a few seconds. If you're standing there for a few minutes, you need to get some self-esteem. But maybe wait a few extra seconds for somebody to reach the door, you know. Always doing please and thank yous. I feel like you never know, man. If somebody's having a bad day and they're on the precipice of taking their own life and you're super nice to them in a mundane, commonplace social interaction, who knows? Like maybe that could be the little, oh, all right, I guess the world's not so bad, you know? I don't know. Could be valuable, dude. But there was another guy. Who the fuck? I forget this guy's name, dude. Oh, I think it was George Saunders. Yeah, this guy's brilliant. I forget what he does, but he has a bunch of like famous essays and stuff. And he was talking about at the end of his life, he just wants to become kindness. Like he is mostly just kindness. He's the act of kindness. I'm like, damn, dude, that's pretty sick. I want to become the act of kindness, but not like get it stepped on either. You know, I want to become an act of kindness that like makes fun of your like apparel, that kind of kindness. I was at a birthday party for comedian Molly Kornfeld. She's hilarious. She had this party at this cute little bar in Brooklyn, and it was a very like Christmas themed bar. And one of our other comedian friends, a woman, was like, hey, Danny, can you buy me another drink? Because I was just nice, bought a couple girls drinks when I arrived. Not to try to fucking get in their pants, dude. Relax, just to be nice. And then she goes, hey, Danny, can you buy me another drink? And I was like, what's in it for me? Like, I can see one. Like, oh, it's the holidays. Nice gesture. Two? Are we going to kiss? Why am I buying you two drinks, dude? Why don't you buy me a drink? Just kidding. I learned this recently. Did you know that if you go on Costco.com, you can buy gold bars? People are buying gold bars from Costco, and apparently they sell out like immediately, dude. I'm like, what are these people doing with all these gold bars? Are they putting them in their underground, like underground bunkers for the end of the world? Or are you just like I don't understand that. Like, if you, let's say you have 8 gold bars, do you just trade them for other gold bars? Do you like bring them to a bank and exchange them for cash? Or you just like stack up gold in your basement and then like late at night after your wife goes to sleep, you just go down there and like stare at the gold? You're like, I'm doing quite well. If this was an 1840s mining town in Nevada, I don't really get it, man. I read recently about this concept called Oasis Moments. Like, and it says like, you know, basically every day you want to carve out a series of Oasis moments where you have the chance to kind of recharge and refresh and take a break from your daily activities. And it won't be an impediment to your productivity. It'll actually enhance your productivity once you've completed the break, because it'll like restore and refresh you. Small respite from the literal and figurative noise around you. It says find 5 minutes, and then 5 minutes is long enough. It's long enough for you to feel refreshed, but brief enough that you can actually fit it into your day. And this Dr. Varma lady, if you want to know her first name, just look it up, dude. I'm not going to go look it up, dude. I only look up the total number of words in the English language, not Dr. Varma's first name. Dr. Varma recommends doing it before your energy levels dip. It might seem counterintuitive, but research suggests that rest can be more effective at restoring your energy when it's taken before you are tired as opposed to after. Didn't know that, dude. Didn't know that. So you should try to take a little nap before you feel that you actually need a little nap. What? That sounds difficult. Although I think I can pull it off. Do you guys like to take naps? Naps are sick, dude. And I read that other study that said if you take naps on a consistent basis, everybody's brain volume decreases over time, but you can reduce the amount that your brain shrinks. I know I've said this in the pod before, but I'm not going to be so arrogant and presumptuous to think that everybody, every listener has listened to all the episodes. I'm going to repeat some things sometimes, okay? Like, but they're good things to repeat. I'm not going to repeat like, you know, presidential election results from the 1940s. I'm going to repeat like dope health news, bro. Oh, by the way, I know that this pod episode has about 340 episodes, but actually now that it's 2024, this is the 5th calendar year that this podcast has been in existence. Huh, that's something. Probably could have spent my time doing something way more productive based on the numbers, but here we are just continuing on. No, I honestly think that like maybe one day I'm trying to put together like a better like social media strategy, grow my followers as a comedian and stuff, because one day if I end up do having like an actual comedy career with a significant number of followers, I think you can like monetize your back catalog of podcast episodes. And that would be kind of sick the more I think about it, you know? So it's like you just build up this body of work. Maybe you're not popular or famous over the course of the first like X number of years. But then if it ever does work out, you have this entire fucking catalog. That's kind of sick. That's why I keep doing this. And because people give me feedback. People text me feedback and I appreciate it. Thank you. It keeps me going. This seems like a selfish endeavor, what I'm doing right now. But it's not. It's not. It's creative. You're doing fine. You're doing just fine, Danny. Okay. And to wrap this first podcast episode of 2024, I will summarize this little article I read about seeking out delight. And even though the world this year, I actually like the last sentence of this article. It was one of the best ones. It said, even though this year, like all of them, will be filled with conflict and tragedy, but it will also be filled with delights, resolve to notice them. And so it's just like, if you see something that delights you in your daily life, you just raise your hand in the air and point to the sky and say, delight. So it's a practice that this author, this essay author, her name is Catherine Price. She's the author of the How to Feel Alive newsletter. Oh, I should get that. How to Feel Alive newsletter. Her latest book is The Power of Fun. That's fun. There's an essay collection called The Book of Delights by Ross Gay. And it's the premise is simple. You make a point to notice things in your everyday life that delight you. This could be anything. A pretty flower, a smile you share with a stranger, the sight of a person playing a trumpet while riding a unicorn down a major Philadelphia thoroughfare. True story. I wouldn't be delighted in that. I'd be annoyed. I'd be like, oh, that guy's probably homeless. Nothing is too small or absurd. Then whenever you notice something that delights you, you lift your arm, raise your index finger. Oh yeah, I already said that. Even if you're alone, and then ideally you share your delights with another person. The concept of prioritizing delight may sound silly or almost irresponsible, given the heaviness of current events, feelings of burnout, the upcoming U.S. presidential election, blah, blah, blah. But this is exactly why it's so important. Far from being a frivolous practice, making a point to notice and share things we find delightful can improve our moods, outlooks, relationships, and even physical health. That is true. I think that shit's true, dude. How? Noticing delights requires us to pay attention. Something that is required for our happiness and satisfaction, but it can be difficult in our increasingly distracted world. It's essentially a form of gratitude practice. You're basically cultivating the habit of noticing and appreciating the things for which you are thankful for. And, you know, they've done studies. There's a lot of like mental and physical benefits associated with gratitude, reduced symptoms of depression, anxiety, and stress, and also improved biomarkers for heart health. Wow. Gratitude practice and lists improve biomarkers for heart health. But I thought this was interesting, this point that they made after that. They said, if you keep up a gratitude practice long enough, you may find yourself expressing your appreciation for the same things over and over, almost out of a sense of obligation. You are grateful for your friends and family. You are grateful that you have enough food. You're grateful for having a place to live. Eventually, the practice can begin to feel less nourishing and more like a chore. In contrast, a delight practice taps into the deep power of gratitude without the risk of becoming trite. That's because the things that delight us are often novel. I doubt I'll see another trumpeting unicyclist anytime soon. I really wish you'd have picked a different example, you know? Noticing and sharing delight is also a form of what psychologists call savoring, the practice of deliberately appreciating positive life experience. Savoring has been shown to boost people's moods as well as counterbalance our brain's natural tendency to focus on the things that stoke anxiety and fear. Being attuned to potentially threatening stressors is helpful from an evolutionary perspective. It takes work to focus our brain on the positive. And the effects of savoring are stronger if you make a point not just to notice positive things, but also to label them and share them. That's why you have to, dude, you have to do this. You have to say delight out loud and put a finger in the air and be like, delight. This lady has like a text thread with other people that's focused on delight too. And they'll like text each other things that delight them. It's kind of sick, dude. She said every new message in those group chats boosts her mood, makes her feel more connected to others, and inspires her to notice and share more delights. I like this idea too. I think I'm going to bring this up at my job. Start a meeting or a class by inviting people to share one thing that delighted them that day. You can use delight sharing as an icebreaker or as a ritual before family meals. So here's another example. Someone sent her, the author, a photo of frost crystals on his windshield. He thought the frost crystals in the windshield were a form of delight. And she's like, you know, ordinarily you might see that and be like, I gotta fucking scrape that shit off, dude. But it could be a good, you know, a form of delight, dude. These moments of connection are good for our physical health. As Surgeon General Vivek Murthy's recent advisory about the nation's loneliness epidemic noted, a lack of social ties is associated with increased risks for high blood pressure, heart disease, cognitive impairment, depression, anxiety, type 2 diabetes, and susceptibility to infectious disease. In fact, one well-regarded meta-analysis concluded that the health risks of loneliness and isolation are comparable with those of smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Damn, dude. If you don't have friends, it's like smoking cigs. Ironically enough, it's fun to smoke cigs with friends, dude. Maybe that's the move. Maybe you buy cigarettes, you start smoking, just go up to bars by yourself and hand out cigarettes and start smoking with people. You'll become heavily addicted to cigarettes, but it's probably going to counterbalance because you're talking to people. That would be my advice, especially if you're a teen. If you're like 16 years old, listening to this podcast, you might want to go out and buy a carton of cigarettes. Just hide it from your parents well. You'll make more friends and it'll improve your heart health. Okay. Should I read more of this article? I don't know. I guess that's it. It's possible to disagree with people, to acknowledge life's challenges, to debate, to sit with sadness, grief, and fear while marveling at and seeking out simple joys. You may be amazed to learn how much there is to marvel at. I never thought about that, like how much delight is available. It didn't take me long to learn that the discipline or practice of writing these essays, this dude wrote a bunch of essays apparently, dude, occasioned a kind of delight radar, or maybe it was more like the development of a delight muscle, something that implies that the more you study delight, the more delight there is to study. Wow. How's that for your fucking Wednesday inspiration? Start focusing on delight, noting it, sharing it with others, and then your palette of what you can find delight in will increase. I'm going to try to do that, dude. Maybe it'll be the title of this fucking app, kid. You know, Oasis Moment and Delight Stuff. The Practice of Delight. All right, thank you for listening. Wow, 20 minutes. Jesus, was not expecting this to go this long. Nice job, Palmer. Palmer, I can't even say my own last name correctly. Follow me on Instagram if you want. Now my Instagram bio has the word comedian by it. So that's something. Upgraded to a professional account. Didn't even cost any money. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Okay. And then also every Friday, Black Cat LES. If you go to Instagram, Black Cat Comedy, I run the show. It's sick. Last week was great. This week's lineup is fucking insane, dude. It's like two of the women on it have been performed in Just for Laughs at Montreal Comedy Festival, which is the most prestigious comedy festival on the planet. It's a really great lineup. And it's on the site, on the page. So you can also get tickets there. It's really fun. And yeah, thank you for listening. Happy New Year, Johns. I really hate myself when I like acknowledge this season or a recent holiday on the podcast. It's like, dude, nobody wants to hear from you. Happy New Year, Danny. You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck are you, bro? I don't know. I guess it's nice. I'll keep doing it. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. You fucking...